Welcome to episode one of the Flow Ninja podcast.
Welcome to Jody Dean's Flow Ninja podcast, bringing you comedy, consciousness, creativity, natural health and well-being.
In this episode, I talk to Neil Greenwood about his life, his awakening journey, and about Morning Gloryville, the conscious sober rave, which is both happening here in London and also around the world. Hi, Neil.
Hey, Jody. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thank you very much.
Good, good.
So, yeah, well, I wanted to have a chat with you about all things Neil Greenwood and all things Morning Gloryville and everything in between.
That's going to take a long time, but I'll give it my best shot.
Of course.
Love talking about all things Neil Greenwood.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we've met basically in the space of conscious events in London, haven't we? And Morning Gloryville's been one of them, but not exclusive to that. Yeah.
Yeah, bumped into a few, like the Mind Body Spirit festivals, like Five Rhythms, no doubt, like different like little hangouts at parks and stuff, always seem to be bumping into one another.
Yeah. And what's your background? Because I mean, I just know you as this lovely guy who's always present and you know, creative and huggy and everything else, but I don't really have your background.
Cool. Yeah, I'd love to share. Well, I guess it's hard to think of myself as anything but an angel hugger now. I had a typical upbringing, like just outside of London. My family is still together. I went to good schools, good university, and was just driven by that kind of need to attain the things, you know, like enhance my own standard of living, like give my family what my parents had given to me, like a big house, like lots of holidays and all that. And I found my way into the corporate scene in the form of recruitment. And I worked in recruitment for like 12 years and I was really good at it. I'm a very energetic person. I'm very sociable and I'm very competitive. So it was like, just pick up the phone, go and introduce yourself to some people, find out about them, like what is their company about and then what do they need? It was very interesting. It was a real sort of like, realistically, it was like quite a psychological profiling of individuality. I was just given a phone and gone and told like go cold calling, and you'd call up like a massive company. Like I was working with the largest companies in the world, like General Electric, like defense companies, oil and gas companies, and okay. It was just like go and investigate them, like what is it they do. So I'd talk to the engineering managers, I'd talk to the marketing managers, and I'd be like, hey, what do you do and what are your problems? And then they'd be like, our problems are we don't have manpower in this area. And then I just have to go out into the world and search and find them. I mean, it's like typical sales, like more is not enough, basically. like just pick up the phone, pick it up 100 more times, make a little bit of money, then make lots of money, and then make more money. So clearly after 12 years of doing that, I just burnt out. Like I joined a startup agency and I basically built that to 33 people in 4 years, and that was like reached around the world. But I was 24 at the time. The directors of the business basically promised me equity, and then that dream just collapsed. And I think I realized like halfway through those 4 years that it was like not going to come. And I just felt this intense pressure. They were like, make more money and we got you. We'll give you that equity. And it never came through. So part of me just died. Like, and my soul was like not really being nourished by just being constantly driven to like achieve something and then not really being rewarded for it. Like, I got money, I went on holidays, but it's not a soul enriching thing, just a kind of like material gain.
No.
And so when I was a little bit broken, I decided I was still ambitious. I wanted to try something, but I left it all. I went traveling around South America by myself for 3 months and worked my way to Australia. And I chose to live in Australia by myself for 3 years, trying to find myself and figure out what was the right way to live. And when I was in Australia, you know, there's beaches, like they eat really healthily, like they just have a different kind of like attitude to life. It's more like life should be embraced, like let's not just worry about this, like it's all good, like we kind of like get there. So just everything just slowed down. And what something that was really important for me, like I really crashed, like I completely physically just was destroyed and mentally exhausted. And I just had loads of time to really figure out who I was. Like my family wasn't there basically encouraging me to find a wife. My friends weren't there encouraging me to be more successful and party more. And I just had time to really figure out like, who is this Neil Greenwood and what is going on in this world around me? And what are my real skill sets? Like, what do I want to do?
Mm.
So, and it all sort of like shifted from that point.
Yeah. And so you were in Australia for how long?
Turned out to be about 3 years in the end.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. All right, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a bit of a down under experience.
A big one. Yeah. Yeah. I would have been tempted to stay there forever, but then like I just basically I felt this calling and this like real desire to kind of like be with my friends and my family. It felt like very significant. Like when you go somewhere like that, and I don't know, like it was wonderful that I made friends and you kind of like have a like English community out there, but like it's not the same as when you have a friendship with someone for like 15 years. And obviously my family, like it felt important for me to return to England when I did.
Yeah. Fair enough. And what parts were you, was you in one place in Australia or where were you?
I was in Sydney. So okay. I was quite adamant to be in Sydney. With the job that I had, I got another recruitment job and I was building out an enterprise for them over there. And I got to travel quite a bit. So I checked out Perth, I checked out Brisbane, I checked out sort of like Adelaide, Melbourne. Like I got to travel around. And, you know, like that was the thing. Like I made it part of my experience to really take those weekends and go and experience like the Blue Mountains, Hunter Valley, like go and just like see like what is like this Australia. I'm on the other side of the world. Like let's do something different.
Yeah.
Myself, yeah. Let's challenge myself.
So you've seen a lot over there.
Yeah, I've seen a lot in the world. Well, I've seen a lot in this world and out of this world, I would like to say.
Mm-hmm.
Can
you extrapolate on that?
Yeah, totally. Well, it was about that sort of time that I was really kind of like disconnecting from like myself and the construct that I'd been like that had been made for me. Like this system, this old system that is like, right, get a job, get a wife, get a like and just like pay taxes. I was like, that just made so little sense to me. And it was just breaking me and so many people. I was like, we have to find a new way to live. And about around this time, I was really struggling and my friends were going to Burning Man and they invited me to go to Burning Man.
Okay.
And so Burning Man's this beautiful festival in America. 75,000 yeah. people go, a little bit like Glastonbury, like everything's free. You go there and be creative. And I turned up and I guess I didn't realize like how broken I was, like both spiritually and how exhausted I was really. But I walked around and everything just looked so clean and everybody looked so happy. And like a man came up to me out of nowhere and just hugged me. And he said, "Welcome home." and you know, like this shift or this like explosion just happened. It went like happened within me. And I was just like, I am home. Look at these beautiful human beings being amazing, just doing things for the sheer love of each other, being creative, doing experimental stuff and just being free. And I was like, this is what I've been missing. This is the whole world is missing this. Like, what is going on? And so, yeah, like this light bulb went off and I was just like, right, I need to become this change. I need to experience this. Like, where else is it going on in the world? And a friend actually gave me a book. It was The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And it's obviously like the path to spiritual enlightenment. And as I read it, I just went like, ding, 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 like mindfulness, like the power of presence, like being, taking control of your mind and release and surrender into something far beyond sort of like the system that surrounds yourself. And you know what, like, I just realized that my whole life I'd gone through a school system, I'd gone through a work system, I'd gone through a family system, and they'd all been like, this is it, this is your box, like own this box and just be in it. And then this book and Burning Man in Australia just kind of was like, oh no, 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 there's a lot more, get involved. And so I just started reading, like I read a book a week for like, I don't know, 4 years. I was like reading.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I was reading physics books, all types of science books, psychology. Carl Jung became my guru. I was reading spirituality books. I was reading like historical novels. And I was just like figuring out my truth. Like, what is the truth of the world around us? And why is it like it is? And basically, I was also like, along that path, I was watching YouTube videos and I was like, I was reading like government conspiracies or just conspiracy theories. And I was like, what's this about aliens? And what is this about like government greed and corporates? There are 6 corporations in the world that own every single business. It's insane. That's like, that's not competition. That is an absolute dictatorship. And I was like, right, I'm going on a revolution. Like, I'm going to go to war for humanity. People should be living like Burning Man, and they are not, and it's because we are not being allowed to. I'm going to fight that. And then spirituality, to me, spirituality is the search for the self. So it's a real sort of like, it's how you become a superhuman, like how you harness the power of your mind, how you connect to a spiritual power, call it God, call it the universe, call it your angels or your spirit guides. Like, it's how do you connect to universal flow and live your divine purpose and live your divine truth. And I learned how to do all of those things. So I like to call it like along that path. Like, I bet I was doing all these things. I was doing like some really significant meditations. I started doing dream therapy on myself.
So what's that? That's what, like writing down your dreams as soon as you wake up kind of thing. And then.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's exactly that. So you tune into the fact that these dreams are talking to you. They're your subconscious, and it's a language. It's like a communication with you to say like, hey, you're really upset about stuff that happened in your childhood. Hey, there's some people around you that are causing you harm. There's some other people around you that want to help you. And it's like guidance to go to like a deeper space of peace and stillness within, where there's like real clarity and empowerment and strength available to you. And so you could call it like saying that like all of us, like because we've been told to do something a certain way, we haven't been living expressively and freely. And that has like put this like shadow on top of us. And dream therapy is a way to sort of like face that shadow when you overcome the fear and you overcome the repressions of your past. You face it all, and then you gradually learn to become more lucid. You learn to take control of that dreamscape and actually dictate what sort of realities that you want to perceive.
How interesting.
It's really cool. Like, there's scientific studies on this all over the place. And once you go through your own self-healing, I learned how to heal my body through like Reiki and this rainbow energy that I'm channeling. I learned to face like these fears and these angers in my mind so that I could bring peace to the past, which is like important for like every human, basically.
Yeah.
Once you go through that, then you open up a doorway, or I call it a gateway, like a stargate, to the actual entirety of the cosmos, where there are other spiritual beings, there's other energy waiting like to basically have a communication with you.
Yeah.
And yeah, along that path, I like to call it as like these spiritual beings basically tapped me on the head while I was in a dream. And they were like, hey, little human, what's going on down there? And I'm like, you know what? Something's wrong. There's like a real lot. There's a lot of people in pain and suffering, and I don't really like it. I want to make a difference. I want to save this world. And they were like, ooh, that's a big challenge. Are you sure you're up for it? And I was just like, challenge accepted. Let's get on and let's get this done now. Mm. And like, and then it was just like a trial by fire for like, for the last sort of like 3 years. I've been like working with them, facing this like ridiculous evil that has been defeating, like that's basically been trying to kill off humanity in this world, and I've been fighting it off.
Yeah. So I mean, I just wanted to kind of zero in on like the, because you talked about you know, basically spirit world, and well, what I consider to be spirit world, but also about like a conspiracy or whatever. And I don't know, people might not know what we're talking about, or they might have an inkling, or they might have seen something on YouTube, or they might have heard stuff about Illuminati, or they might have, you know, looked at a book, or, you know, these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I've in and out of my life, I've dipped into this stuff and looked at it. I mean, obviously, like when I was a teenager, David Icke like was appearing, you know, with his books and everything. And it was very radical. I mean, his first couple of books were very, very spiritual and very kind of energy and healing based. And then he got into the nitty gritty of like control structures and everything. I'm not saying I agree with everything he says, but the gist of it, I'm starting to see how that has all played out, and how, and many other authors as well, and people who've just come forward and said this is what's happening, and looking into the history of you know, the world and control structures, banking systems, and you know, and the way intelligence agencies are being used, etc., to control us. You know, mind control on a mass kind of global scale, you know, that kind of mass hypnotism that's happening. And it does feel like it's starting to break down. You know, the cracks are happening in the world, in these control structures. You know, we've got the internet, which is obviously this incredible tool. And that has allowed people to research and investigate and share like on an unprecedented level, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've learned so much from the internet.
Yeah.
Internet, that's and, like, it, YouTube isn't videos. It? It's just free information, and like there's so much information available to people, like on even on like simple things like wellness. Like just go on web, literally type in YouTube or YouTube or Google and be like, what is in milk? Like what is in cheese? Like look at all of the food that's processed. Like the information is right there, and when you look at it, it's basically poison. And it's like, just if you don't think you're in a controlled system, like just literally go to the local supermarket, look at the back of the packet, and literally question, why are there all these chemicals in the food that I'm eating for my own health benefit?
Yeah.
And then you're like, whoa, okay, I need to not be eating this food anymore.
Yeah, it's a very good question. And, you know, it does take courage as well to kind of stop and go, okay, I'm going to really look into this, and I'm going to, you know, choose what I'm going to eat and how I'm going to live, etc. Because obviously it's going against the grain. And, you know, there's, you know, we as human beings, we're vulnerable, and we are, you know, dependent to some extent on others' acceptance and approval. So when kind of gone against the grain and, you know, gone vegan or whatever, it always attracts attention, and people are like, well, why? But why? You know, and all that, and then, oh, you know, oh, it doesn't really matter, you know, you could just be kind of worrying about this stuff all the time. But, you know, my grandfather lived till he was 90, and he ate meat and wheat and smoked and drank and all that kind of thing. But then it was also a different world then, and we don't have the chemical soup that we are living in now, you know, with the whatever it is, 80,000, 100,000 chemicals, man-made chemicals in the environment, just for starters, you know. So it's just, I wanted to kind of point that out. And also, like, we'll see, using the word conspiracy is, you know, it's it has been stigmatized and demonized, you know, conspiracy theories. And, you know, looking in a newspaper today, whatever, they'll talk about conspiracy theories, and it will be in a joking kind of way. Also on the TV news or whatever, it's still in a joking kind of laughing act kind of way, because taboo. It's still taboo to, you know, give these understandings kudos, and that's why they're kind of daubed all with the same paintbrush of conspiracy theories, conspiracy. Because if you start actually going, okay, what is this, and looking at it critically, it's, there's evidence.
Exactly.
There's evidence, that's the thing, right? And then if you've got evidence, then that's, it's like, okay, well, we've got facts, and then
exactly, like,
we've got to discuss this. So an easy way not to discuss it is to call it conspiracy theory.
I was literally just about to say exactly that. Like, we are talking about information that someone has managed to, I guess, you as propaganda, just bundle it under this branding of conspiracy theory in order to sort of like discredit it. But yeah, in general, like, what, well, I'm not talking about that. I, like, it's good that we've brought that attention, but like, I'm talking about information. Like, I'm just talking about, like, literally go on Google and, like, it's, the information's there, just like, just, but anyway.
You've got to learn how to differentiate between garbage or stuff that's written with an agenda, as compared to, you know, true, honest kind of research and reporting.
Very true.
People. Yeah, because there are agendas out there, and there's disinformation as well, you know.
But this is a negative topic. I don't really want
frame it and go, okay, just because we talked about conspiracy and stuff. And
yeah,
go, okay,
no, I'm glad we've like, defined it, but it's not an aspect that I wish to dwell on, really.
Yeah, because it is, it's shadow, isn't it? It's,
yeah,
it's shadow stuff. Yeah. so yeah, okay. And speaking of shadow, like, I really love what you said about the facing the shadow through the dream therapy.
Yes.
Stuff. And, you know, I think, anyway, for me, it really resonates, the kind of journey of facing shadow, owning shadow, and, you know, recognizing and acknowledging that, you know, the shadow is within, and we all have it. And, you know, it's that which, I don't know, how would you describe the shadow?
I love that question. Thank you. So one of the things that I found about the path of spiritual enlightenment is that I kind of like looked at like the Buddha, and I looked at like all of these priests and monks that had either attained spiritual enlightenment, or their journey was to attain that. And I thought, wow, that looks like really serene. That looks really powerful. Like, I'm excited to be on that path. And the path of spiritual enlightenment is so damaging, so painful, so, like, it's really, really quite an intense realization about truth. And so what I came to find is that, like, yes, when you face your shadow, is like these, let's call them trapped emotions from the society you live in and from your childhood. And if you look at the chakra system, your root chakra is in the base of your spine. That's where you hold fear. In your sacral chakra, which is your, where your navel is, that's where you store like guilt. In your stomach, shame. In your heart, grief. In your throat, denial. In your third eye, illusion. And in the crown chakra, attachments. So you learn how to basically channel energy into and through these sort of like chakra points on your body by facing dream sort of like situations which are scary, which cause you great shame, which whatever. And you, as the growing sort of like conscious aware being that you are, overcome them. So I had lots of issues from my dad. And my dad was like very stressed. He was a lovely man. He is a lovely man. And like, he was very stressed at work, and he'd come home and he'd scream at us. And as a child, that's deeply traumatic because you just don't understand where that rage comes from. No, so you're just playing around and you're getting shouted at. And this causes a trauma that gets like blocked within you.
Yeah.
So in a dream, I would basically face this like really fearsome dragon, shall we say, that was just like trying to defeat me. And at the mm-hmm. point where I would fight it sometimes, I would run away from it sometimes. But one time I actually just like faced up to it and said, look, I don't really know what's going on. I don't know why you're trying to fight me, but like, I just want to say that like, I'm sorry and I forgive you for trying to hurt me. And immediately after that, I saw the image of my dad with like the thumbs up, and then my heart basically like really did this pulse, this energetic pulse where it like it illuminated, basically saying to me that I had a trapped bit of darkness within me that I illuminated with light because I was able to take on a divine response to it, which was forgiveness rather than fear or
yeah. Beautiful.
And so I become a little bit more consciously aware, and my spiritual presence became more illuminated.
Mm.
So one thing that I know is that there are a lot of spiritual teachings out there that are only like 50% full. So a lot of people are preaching about like, hey, the path of enlightenment is just like be the light, just like kind of like do good things, like be the light. But actually, what hasn't been explained is that everyone really needs to become the darkness. Like, and that's not, and the darkness is actually very different to evil. So evil is like malicious, and it's like using your power to corrupt another person. That's not what darkness is. Darkness is your deep emotions, your wildness, your weirdness, your wacky ways. It's your pain and your suffering. It's like how many of us as children were told don't cry, it's like it's not cool, or it's not, you're not strong enough, or like don't tell someone that you have a weakness because it's like it's a weakness. It's like that's what the darkness is. The darkness is your individual traits that have been suppressed from you. Like, become that darkness, become this weird, wacky, like jovial or sad being. Just be who you are. It doesn't matter if you're like, if you're a quiet individual or a loud individual. You don't have to be anything that than what you are. So what I came to understand is that and this is it, like, so I went to war. Like, I became Thor in the dream world. Like, the spirit guides literally pulled me to a temple. They called me Thor, you know, like the son of Odin. And they took me to a temple, and they were like, we anoint you as a shepherd of the people. Like, it's your duty to shine and like to help these people realize divine truth. And this is what I do. This is like what I do on a spiritual level. And this is what I do in a fun, jubbly way. Like, I thought this was going to be right. I'm going to be the next Jesus Christ, and I'm going to start a religion. but do you know what they were like? It's like, don't take yourself so seriously. Humanity just takes itself so seriously. Just play more. Just figure out what your creative essence is. Like, who are you? What are you about? What do you want to do? What are your skills? What is your unique skill set that no one has? Like, everyone has these like divine gifts that other people can't do.
Absolutely.
And that's like, again, that's like the system like breaks you down to be like, you must be the same as everyone else and just compete over this little like this little piece of pie, which is technically money. It's like, just don't worry about that. There's more money and abundance and availability of resources in this world. We don't need money. Money's useful. But like, actually, if we were just our own selves looking after one another, then the world would just come. Well, the world would just look after itself, because we are an intricate part of a tree, an animal, of the like a fish in the sea, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, meaning that we're all connected.
We are one.
Yeah.
United in nature.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, profound things. you've said really. And yeah, the notion of, you know, how we're taught to be a certain way, and, you know, very much dependent on approval from others, and getting like the societal rewards and you know, status and all of that, can be very inhibiting. And I mean, some people get on with it, but, you know, like, everyone, as you said, is unique and has their own gifts. And, you know, it's about letting ourselves shine and honoring who we are, and that, you know, it's no one else is like us, like, because there is no one like us, because we are unique, each of us, and we have a great gift to share, each one of us on this planet.
Totally. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I really believe that. Yeah. And to bring it back to the shadow as well, I really see that honoring the shadow and honoring our vulnerabilities and our pain and giving space to it and embracing it is part of that journey of understanding our uniqueness and what gifts we have to give the world.
So true. Yes, I agree completely.
Yeah. So, okay, so we talked about the dream therapy, and your work. So you, at some point, you decided to give that in, that company, to give that up, the company you're working for in the UK.
Yeah, so after I came back from Australia, I was on this, like, this spiritual path. All my friends were like, you've changed. Like, some of them were like, you're walking around on clouds, and other ones were like, you're an absolute weirdo. Like, you're not the guy we used to know and love, which was funny.
You've changed.
It was really hard. Like,
right,
was,
yeah, no, sorry.
No. It's now where I am at, I'm so comfortable with it all. It's like, it is funny to look back on, but
right. Okay.
So many of them were just like, this is what I'm saying, that, like, so many of my friends who are, like, super successful. One of my friends runs, like, the largest gaming business in the world, which is a computer game in esports, which is Fnatic. One of them was making more money out of software sales than anyone, like, that has ever, like, come. He was making ridiculous money. All my friends are, like, really successful, right. And I used to be one of them. And they're like, Neil, what, you, like, you wear pink when you go out for a walk, like, you don't care about making money, and instead of coming out to the pub and drinking with us, you stay in so that you can wake up early, get dressed up in leggings, go and get pizza, and dance around at Morning Gloryville. They're like, you've changed. And it was a really difficult change to go through, because it's like, I knew that when I was dancing, Morning Gloryville is sober dancing. There's yoga there. There's people dressed up. That everyone's smiling. Like, we just, like, you listen to fun music and you dance, and, like, yeah. There's just. And you know what, like, one of the reasons why people, my friends in particular, didn't really like me going there is because I think they had their own fears about it. Like, they weren't comfortable going on a dance floor when it's early and when it's light, you know, like, mm-hmm. they're used to, if they ever go on a dance floor, they're used to being, like, pretty much intoxicated in order to do that.
Yeah.
And so it does take courage to kind of, like, own that self. But, like, when you get on that dance floor, you just realize something's changed. Like, with Morning Gloryville, we now take on corporate packages, like big businesses, like the largest ones in the world, like, call us into their offices, and we go there with, like, a fun crew. We either dance about, like, creating, like, a mini rave within there, or we, like, introduce them to mindfulness and wellness professionals who, like, we do massaging with them. We do, like, coaching in regards to veganism, coaching in regards to, like, sober, like, the need to drink appropriately in relation to your, like, Ayurvedic diet and things like that. It's scientifically proven. It's, like, spiritually sound. It's the change in the world. And that's what Morning Gloryville brings to the world, whether it's at one of our raves or at a festival or in your home or in your office, you know.
Yeah. So brilliant. Amazing. I'm on this journey now of Morning Gloryville. Just so for anyone who doesn't know who's listening, can you just explain what it is? Because we just jumped in there and I'm just wondering, I don't want to leave anyone behind.
Lots of concepts going through at the moment. So yeah. Fair enough. You want me to explain Morning Gloryville?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Well, considering that I run it, I probably should do that. So Morning Gloryville is where like a sober ravolution is what we talk it. It's conscious clubbing, and it's a way to start the day that's like it's very unique. Like some people go for a run in the morning to get their buzz on. Some people go to yoga. Some people go to Zumba. Morning Gloryville on a Wednesday starts about 6 a.m. in the morning. When you turn up, there are like 3 people that are designated huggers that meet you, and they hug you, and they hug you into the day, give you a big smile, big cheer, and say, hey, welcome home. Then you go into this place. It's bright. There's like really fun, soulful electronic dance music playing, and it's like really upbeat, and there's just people on the dance floor. There's hula hoopers. There's in the corner you can do yoga, which is kind of like intermingled into the dancing, so it's like fun yoga. There's a lot of people in the creative scene that are basically broken out of that system we were talking about, and they're like they now create their own cacao food. We have like people selling vegetarian food. We have people selling like obviously like coffee, but like it's naturally sourced and it's like a small business. We have like juices that are like that cultivated in order to like really give you an energetic buzz. So rather than taking alcohol to kind of like suppress your emotions and make you feel okay to dance, this is all about like energy activation. Like we'll give you food and drink, and then you just dance. We'll put glitter on your face, get on the dance floor, dance for an hour, dance for 4 hours, and then go to work. Ideally still with glitter on your face. Let's bring sparkles into the workplace.
Absolutely. Morning Gloryville. And that's in London. But it's also in other cities at times, right? And it's around the world as well.
Morning Gloryville's been going for about 6 years now, actually. And we get invited to go to festivals, and we'll take like a crew of like 7 people. And like typically we'll just like, there was a sober festival recently in Spitalfields Market. And there were all people that had created like a gin and tonic that has no alcohol in it, a beer that has no alcohol in it, or just like a juice that has no alcohol. And so obviously it's very focused on like the vendors, the food and the drink. And we were asked to bring like a bit of energy to the party. So we turn up with the DJ, we turn up with like a crew that's like dressed to impress. And we like do that by a theme. Sometimes we're told like, can you make it a rock theme? Can you make it a punk theme? Can you make it like, I don't know, a dancing unicorn theme? You know, it's like we're just here to play and create like an energetic enhancement of the place that we're in. So yeah, so you've got like people selling stuff, and then all of a sudden there's loud music coming on, and we're dancing, and we're interacting with like all the people there, getting them dancing. And you know, when everyone's having fun and playing, like it's meditation, like the seriousness of what you think you're meant to be doing just like falls away, and you become your true self. And that's the spirituality essence coming into its own. Over the last years, like we had a support group in America, so we started doing some raves over there. We get invited to go to different like sort of like, I don't know, councils and counties, and they'll put up a tent and we'll turn up with our crew, and we just organize parties, and we organize like healing baths, and we organize yoga, we organize gong baths, we organize like sacred sound ceremonies. Like we just do an array of different things depending on like what you think your organization or the party that you're running could add a little bit of spice to it.
Yeah. And it's very kind of celebratory, isn't it? It's very much feel good and playful, which really attracts me. I've, you know, gone as much as I can in the last 4 years I've been in London, really, and available. And just great vibes, just really up for it people who you know are like you, you know, who've got up early and want to have some fun and you know, without any of the crutches of modern life, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so we do get a lot of people that come there that are new, and they're just like, we just heard about this like fun party pretty much, and everyone, like, people are stopping drinking alcohol, they're looking for, like, so their Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights are opening up, and they're like, what are we going to do? So there's just such a space for people to just hold like fun celebrations of life, really. And as I say, like, when you come, there's just so much more there. We have people channeling Reiki, so you can go and get some Reiki. We have people reading tarot cards. We have people giving massages. It's a place for your mind, body, and spirit just to be nourished. And that's not something that the world has had for a very long time. So, yeah, and that's part of my spiritual journey, has been to, like, help the world wake up. And I learned some very deep spiritual concepts about, like, the universe and about meditation. And my guidance specifically was, like, make the world a party, make it fun, make it less serious, make it more playful. When we get out of our heads, the head is really important, the mind is exceptionally important, but it's been cluttered with, like, nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, when you kind of, like, when you soothe that, when you heal that, then you're left open, like, for self-expression, and then you become more powerful. Like, otherwise you're suppressed. And yeah. Morning Gloryville is all about, like, like this revolution that will, like, show the world how to live properly.
Yeah, bring it on. I just got this image of you know, just children, how children are just in that beautiful, playful innocence and fun and in the present moment. It really does remind me of that. And but it's the thing is that when we're doing this, well, being and, you know, activated in this sort of conscious space of kind of play and honoring each other and dance and celebration, we're like adults, you know, with the kind of the healed child space. So we're in that playful child, but then we've got the responsibility, the accountability, and the kind of the mission of adults as well, which is like coming full circle. And yeah, that's what I see in it as well. And that's also why I think it's amazing and fabulous, and everyone should go.
let's hope that this is a reach out to more people, and they will come, because yeah, it's the world is changing. It's becoming more playful, it's becoming more open. Like, people need to share their emotions, they need to cry more, they need to be orgasmic more, they need to be more, like, it just needs to be, you need to go to a place and be actually held, like, not need to, like, suppress yourself with alcohol and like drugs or whatever it might be, you know. It's like, you can gain so much by being pure, eating healthily and things like that. And we're here to educate, and we're here to hold you, basically.
Yeah. And funny, like you mentioned about the alcohol, well, we can't really not mention it because it's absence. But like, I know, you know, sometimes I've been around guys or whatever, particularly guys, not so much girls, although that's true as well with girls, but that they'll be like, oh, what? No alcohol? Ah, oh, sounds so boring. No, not for me, sort of thing. And it's almost like it's sort of not cool because there's no alcohol. It's like, because they associate the frolics and fun and sort of joy of socializing and being wild with alcohol, because that's the only way they've been able to access those parts of themselves. They've only allowed them to come out with the alcohol, because obviously the alcohol kind of acts as a release. And it's funny because it's actually the opposite. It's like, it's the alcohol that's actually not the thing that's that's helping. And although, you know, traditionally in our culture, it's the one thing that, you know, has sort of helped lubricate socially. But the thing is, it's a trap.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a trap. And it becomes a crutch. And before you know it, you're like that guy who's like, oh, I mean, no alcohol. Oh, God, sounds so boring. Not for me. It's like, dude, that's just the reason why you need to come.
It really is.
Realize that all of that is inside you anyway, you know?
So if we talk about energy mechanics, like the state of consciousness in this world has risen to this, like, this perfect alignment with other, like, cosmic and universal entities. Now, there is a reason why there is so much availability of veganism. There is a reason why there are so many more opportunities, like, why people don't want to drink alcohol anymore. And it's because people are really aware on a conscious level about the value of their own self, and they're like, and people are just waking up left, right, and center and being like, I get this feeling of something else, like something else is going on around me. And it's like that distraction that was exactly what you were just talking about was being suppressed through alcohol, through like these poisonous foods and stuff like that. But it's not, but the actual conscious field that we all live in now has risen to a point that that can't suppress us anymore.
Yeah.
So we're going to see alcohol businesses going out of business left, right, and center. And then more and more people are going to be, they're going to be able to walk away from this, like sitting in an office staring at a computer screen. Like they're going to be able to walk away from that mentality. And they're like, you know what? We can live off the land. Like we can make these cacao drinks. We can make these foods that are like, that are not harmful to our environment. And that will there, and they will both nourish our bodies better. And they will not kill the exact biosphere that also sustains our life. And everyone knows mm-hmm. this now. And so there's so many changes to come, and it's really exciting to be at the helm of like Morning Gloryville, which is such a big vehicle for that all to change around.
Yeah. You're mentioning about like these sort of energetic shifts that are happening on the planet.
Yes.
Yeah. From my kind of reading and research around it and also just experience, like just shifts in energy over time, which is subtle, you know, it's subtle. But obviously when you kind of get sensitive through doing meditation, yoga, that the, you know, your extra sensory perceptions do open up. That's a known fact. And you become more psychic, and then you do attune to kind of frequencies and energies. And you kind of, yeah, for me anyway, that's what's happened. And so I have become more aware of these energies, and also reading up on it, it's like, oh yeah, we're actually going through a massive shift. And the planet is, you know, part of a solar system that is part of a galaxy, and we are moving through a particular zone of energy in the galactic plane, which is absolutely amped up. There's like tons more light photons coming into our solar system. So that's something that's interesting, and if anyone wants to go and look it up online, there's loads of info about that, about how, you know, the planet is moving through something, and it's an evolutionary shift as well. That's where I see it anyway. What are your views?
Evolution. You couldn't have put the words more perfectly. The human species is evolving. This is what is commonly termed as like the golden era. So yeah, there's a lot of like biblical and like prophecies that talk about like Armageddon, and everyone always talks about that in such a negative way. So it's like the death of everything. But actually, like we've lived through that. Like we've lived through the chaos that was this corporate greed and was this government control. The golden era is a point in time where we all just wake up, and it's a very difficult transition. So why there's so many spiritual healers out there and lovely beings out there who We don't just shift into this kind of like golden place. Like you earn your evolution. And that is what's happening. People that are awake and are prepared to walk away from alcohol, that walk away from sort of like just like nonsense conversations, walk away from just like being a part of a group of people because that's who you've been a part of. Like people that are looking to these new ways to illuminate themselves, to like be more playful, to be more loving, like they're getting taken up in this cosmic wave of ascension. And it's evolution. Like the human species is evolving to a point of conscious illumination again, and enlightenment, where they can connect on a deep soul's level with the other energetic beings that have been around us the whole time.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it? It's just about time as well.
It is about time. It
I'm so glad that I'm in this body now, in this time.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That's the glorious part of it. It's like, everyone, I mean, the news of the world, like, you don't have to be too clever to realize that, like, the news is very negative. And, like, if you really look at it, it's like, it's the same message over and over again. Someone's killing this person, terror, 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 blah, blah, blah. It's just like, that's a really sort of like, that's something that was tried to do to kind of like keep everyone repressed. But the internet, you can go deeper and find out more information. Like, that you can't say that stuff anymore. People like you are creating podcasts and we're having these conversations, and there's so many people out there that are ready to express their truth, and all of this like enhances the vibration. Like it's all just like good, it's all good vibes, it's all positive, it's all like, okay, look, it's hard, like let's face the hardness, that's okay as well, like we can be in pain, like it's a tough thing to do, but on the other side, this is what happens, and like, and this is how we all come together as one united sort of like human force that actually is united with lions of this world, it's united with the elephants of this world, it's united with the trees, and we realize that actually we use their strength as our own to kind of like create a organic natural system that we can all survive in, and our children and their children can survive in, and that's really the key here.
Yeah, coming together and just sort of absolutely agree with you. Being as one, realizing we are one.
Yeah.
That we are one and all life is sacred.
All life is sacred. That's beautiful. And it is. It really is.
Yeah. great. Is there anything else? This sort of feels like we're coming to a natural conclusion. Is there anything else that you wanted to say about yourself, what you're doing, you know, because is there anything else, you know, that you wanted to mention or anything more about Morning Gloryville?
I've said a lot about Morning Gloryville. Like, I think like Morning Gloryville is a great like awakener. Like it's playful, it's fun, it's available to everyone. We have a Saturday Morning Gloryville, which is from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. The next one's on the 23rd of Feb, and it's at the Steel Yard next to Cannon Street. We invite families there. There's lots of children there. They have to wear ear defenders because it is quite loud. But we're actually setting up a children's play area. So there's that going on. Like it's great for young people. It's for the golden elders of our culture. Like, the old system told our elders, like, and I'm talking, I guess, like from people from 50 to 70, it's like, right, you can stop working now, we don't need you. And we're like, no, we need you. You've got wisdom, you've got like the heritage of our past that we need.
And this life is experience.
We bring all different cultures and people and ages and all together. And so that's a Saturday. The Wednesday ones are coming up. But I also run a couple of more deeper, spiritually nourishing sort of projects. One's called Divine Spark, which is it's like a dance therapy it's like about 50 to 100 people turn up. We have healers, different shamans, different people around the side, and really sort of like you dance. It's all in silence, so you'll dance in silence, and then you'll meet a healer and they'll take you to the corner, and you'll have like, they'll do like a little bit of spiritual enlightenment with you, activating higher sensory perceptions within you. So that's very deep and therapeutic, which is if you're on the path and if you're already going to Morning Gloryville or already want this, that's a place to go to get more of that in your life, really.
Oh, great. Okay. That's called Divine Spark. And is there a website or?
Not yet. We've only been running it for about 4 months. It's been smaller sort of like deep meditations. It's been gong baths. We actually take groups of people to ancient sites like Stonehenge and we channel with the energy and stuff like that. So it's a collaboration of myself and quite a select group of healers, but a large one.
How will people find out? Sorry.
I have a group on Facebook called Echo Chamber.
Okay, Echo Chamber on Facebook.
Yes. Brilliant. So that is a charity that I run and organize, and it's all about sort of conscious connections, it's about spiritual awakening, and it's about giving back to the community.
Great. Sounds wicked.
Yeah. And that's it really. And it's like this, the path of spiritual enlightenment is actually quite tough. But keep at it. Those of you that are in pain and struggling with it, like I've seen the other side, you're there and it's beautiful. So just keep on going. And just like, although it is a terrifically harsh environment at times, and it's really difficult, and even spiritual guidance is flip-flopped and sometimes seems to be attacking you, just kind of like just try and just take the positive from anything that comes at you. Just focus on the positive and you'll get through in the end. And
that's great advice.
It's also not about getting through as well, and just being like what you said earlier, is just like, I'm so pleased to be Jodie and in this body right now. It's just like I read in the in a book, Zen the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Such a great book.
And it was about this concept called arete, which is a concept from the Roman times. And it's actually a concept that hasn't really worked in humanity throughout lifespan, because it talks about this ethos of a man or a woman and a desire to be perfect in like all that they do, whilst also recognizing that there is no such thing as perfection, just kind of like the ideology to sort of like perfect your being. Like the ideal man, because it was written about man, and I'm a man, was like, I can outrun like a youth. I can build a boat. I can like paint a picture, but I can also go to a play and I can cry at the beauty of it. And it's like, I'm not a perfectionist anymore. I have high ideologies of how I'd like to live my life. And sometimes this being spiritual or being scientific is all like, I've got to do more of that and I'm not doing it right. And it's just like, you can't do it wrong. Like, just embrace the art of trying to improve yourself and acting out in a vision of that's greater than what you are. But just be accepting of exactly where you are while you're there. Just like mix and mangle like the ideology of two concepts throughout the same moment.
Yeah, I love that. Acceptance, so important, so important. I'm a bit of a perfectionist at times. And yeah, it's a real buzzkill.
Yeah, exactly.
A real buzzkill. Because then nothing's right, you know, and it's like it's anti-life suddenly. Because it's not how it should be. And it's a creativity killer.
Oh, it really is. It really is.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah. Just want to make mistakes. Like I said to my spirit guides the other day, like, oh, damn it, I made another mistake. And I was just like, oh, screw it, I'm just going to own it. I love mistakes. Like, I might have made a mistake now. I might have gone back a couple of inches or a mile or in this ascension journey. But you know what? Like, I'm sure I'll learn from that, and then I'll earn myself another couple of inches the next time. So like, it's fine. Like, there's going to be another time, or there isn't. Like, but it's just like, why would I bother worrying about that? Like, just like, I did what I did. Try and get close to your heart space, which is like your intuition.
Yeah.
And just put a smile on, and just know that there are companies like Morning Gloryville. There are therapeutic communities like Divine Spark and Kimana, which is another thing that I run, where people come together, we share about what's going on in our lives, and we we dance into our emotions and we really sort of like embrace one another. These things are everywhere. Just go and look for them.
Great. That's Kumana, is it?
Kumana is a different one as well.
Kumana.
It's a playful performance. We get like actors together, we get creatives, we get singers.
Oh, right. Brill.
And like, yeah, the last one we did, we kind of like told the story of our time, like the age from darkness to light. And we had a man come on and sing about the death of his, about the suicide of his son. He sung about like the, basically this ship of sailors that came home from World War One. They'd won the war, but they died 5 minutes from their home because their ship crashed. And it was like there was this like this deep dark energy that was lurking around, because like no one had because at the time there wasn't the internet, so no one really understood what had happened. And the press that was dominant at that time said, don't worry about the negative, like we won the war, like forget about those sailors that had died, you know. And we created this like this interactive performance where he sung about his son, because his son actually had channeled him this message, and like by singing everyone in the room just cried.
Ooh.
and I recognized it as this portal, this like this dark portal that had been hanging over our conscious evolution, because it hadn't been recognized, like it hadn't been embraced. We were told, once upon a time, we were told, don't cry about these things. And now I'm saying, cry about them, cry about everything, get mad about it, rage about it, rage against repression. But find your way to harness that rage and channel it for good, the greater good. So my way is Morning Gloryville. My way is being happy and being playful and teaching through both deep shamanic, enlightening spiritual experiences, but also playful, just get on the dance floor and do the limbo and conga at Morning Gloryville. And it's all the same.
Channeling that energy. Yeah. Because it's like, it can be enraging, you know, when you kind of, I know people who've, you know, had this go on, and myself included, just like, you know, oh, the government this, and oh, the bankers that, and the globalists, and you know, and they're like repression and elite paedophile rings you know, it's like it does engender anger, rage, and but yeah, we need to channel that into determination and positivity somehow, like positive active change, creative change. You know, maybe don't go and smash up the Houses of Parliament.
exactly.
You know, or people's cars or shops, maybe. And yeah, there are great ways to channel that energy. Protest and activism is one form of that, of, you know, peaceful activism, whatever. It's we had the riots, didn't we, in London? I wasn't here for that. Thankfully, but I just remember the shock of all of that happening. Channeling energy into creative positive things that can bring more meaning and be tools for change is great.
Totally.
Yeah, so brilliant what you're doing, Neil.
Thank you.
Really great. Yeah. Go for it, man. This is brilliant.
We got this. We are the change. It has already happened. We're just realizing it.
Yeah. 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 It is about, yeah, absolutely. I feel the same. It's about realizing it and, yeah, going, okay, right, we're here and we're doing these things. And, yeah, and obviously networking and coming together and, you know, together we stand kind of thing, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I think we've come to our kind of end, really, of the podcast. It's been lovely sharing this hour, just over an hour, with you.
Perfect. Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to get a bit more of my message out there.
And I feel like I've got to know you a bit better as well.
And you too.
Yeah, that's great. And I look forward to seeing you soon, and obviously being at the next Morning Gloryville, and all the other creative things that could happen that we've chatted about and everything else. So thank you so much for turning up today and showing up, and we'll talk really soon.
I'm really excited about that. Yeah, and I'm happy to do this anytime. So thanks very much. I appreciate it. And
we'll do another one.
On the dance floor.
Yeah. We'll do another one and see you on the dance floor. All right. Big love.
Big love, Jody.
Take care, Neil.
So I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I did. You can find out more about Morning Gloryville by going to morninggloryville.com. Now, I have a free gift for you in the form of a downloadable PDF. It's called My Top 10 Secrets to Hacking Your Flow, Stepping Into Your Power, and Thriving at Life. And you can get that at go.flowninja.co. That's go.flowninja.co. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope to see you on the next one. Take care. Bye-bye. Hey guys, so please support this podcast and my YouTube by donating on Patreon. Every little help, big and small, is a massive support for me to continue making videos and get the word out there, get my story and my message out there. So I much appreciate any help you can give. The link for my Patreon is in the show notes. So I look forward to making more stuff, more content for you. Thank you. And the link is patreon.com/flowninja. Simple as that. Thank you so much.